Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Ram Goldhar and today Masechus Ksubis Daf Ramad Zayin, the third parak Ilan the Aros. The Zichu Masechus Ksubis program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Hachazachas Torah. So the three topics we're going to focus on: number one, the Gemara challenges that the source for Kamoi by the Rabbi Minei that one is only high of the greater of two penalties is from the parsha that discusses when two men quarrel and they accidentally hit a pregnant woman and she miscarries. Well, ye ason anoshi anesh, and there is no fatality, he shall be punished. Rashi explains if there had been a fatality, he would not be punished with a monetary penalty. But we have a different source in the Parsha Makos, which states, Kedei Risha So, in accordance to his wickedness. Mishum Risha Achaz at the Machaivo, Viet the Machaivo Mishum Shtei Rishuyos. You may only be Machaivo a person with one act of wickedness, not two, referring to two penalties at once. The Gemara answers that one pasuk teaches it regarding the death penalty and monetary payment, and the other teaches it regarding Malkus and monetary payment, and both are needed. If the Torah had only taught Kamoi by the Rabbi Minei with Misa and money, I would think it's because there is Ibud Neshama, loss of life. Rashi explains that since it's so severe, one penalty is enough. But when there is no loss of life, then two penalties should be given. And if it was only taught regarding Malkus and money, it's because Dulchamer Isure, the transgression is not Chamur, and therefore one penalty suffices. But with Misa and money, since the transgression is Chamur, it would not be enough for the transgressor to only have one penalty. Point number two, the Gemara brings the pasuk, V'otikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach, you shall not take atonement money for the life of a murderer, to teach that one does not take money from him to pardon him from execution. And it brings a second pasuk to teach that one does not take atonement money for one who must flee to a near miklat, a refuge city, and explains that both psukim are necessary. Chad b'shogeg, chad b'mezid, one for a person who kills b'shogeg, and one for a person who kills b'mezid. For if the Torah had only taught it for one who kills b'mezid, I may think that he cannot redeem his punishment with money because the transgression is chamur. But in the case of one who kills b'shogeg, perhaps the Torah did not prevent him from redeeming his punishment with money. And if the Torah had only taught it for one who kills b'shogeg, I might think it's because there's no ibud neshama, loss of life. But for one who kills b'mezid, where there is a loss of life for the killer, I might think the Torah does not prevent him from redeeming his punishment with atonement money. And point number three, v'sanda b'risa minayin l'mumasim b'saif shehu min hatzavar. From where do we know with regard to those executed with a sword that it's from the neck? The Torah states at the conclusion of the parsha of Egla Rufa, the decapitated calf, and you shall purge the spillers of innocent blood from your midst. There's a hekesh of spillers of blood to the Egla Rufa. Just as there the death is from the neck, so too by all spillers of blood, the death is by the neck. When the Gemara said if we're comparing the execution of a murderer to the Egla Rufa, Malaham Bekofitz Umamo Oref, Afkan Bekofitz Umamo Oref. Just as there the calf is killed with an axe, and from the back of the neck, here too the murderer should be executed with an axe, and from the back of the neck. Rav Nachman answered the name of Rabbi Baravu, the pasuk states, Lahavderecha Kamocha, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself, which teaches Baruho Misa Yafa, choose for him a favorable death. Rashi explains a sword and the cutting of the trachea and esophagus cause a quicker death. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara challenges that the source for Kamoi by the Rabbi Minei that one is only high of the greater of two penalties is from the parsha that discusses when two men quarrel and they accidentally hit a pregnant woman and she miscarries. Well, ye ason anoshi anesh, and there is no fatality, he shall be punished. Rashi explains if there had been a fatality, he would not be punished with a monetary penalty. But we have a different source in the Parsha Makos, which states, Kedei Risha So, in accordance to his wickedness. Mishum Risha Achaz at the Machaivo, Viet the Machaivo Mishum Shtei Rishuyos. You may only be Machaivo a person with one act of wickedness, not two, referring to two penalties at once. The Gemara answers that one pasuk teaches it regarding the death penalty and monetary payment, and the other teaches it regarding Malkus and monetary payment, and both are needed. If the Torah had only taught Kamoi by the Rabbi Minei with Misa and money, I would think it's because there is Ibud Neshama, loss of life. Rashi explains that since it's so severe, one penalty is enough. But when there is no loss of life, then two penalties should be given. And if it was only taught regarding Malkus and money, it's because Dulchamer Isure, the transgression is not Chamur, and therefore one penalty suffices. But with Misa and money, since the transgression is Chamur, it would not be enough for the transgressor to only have one penalty. Point number two, the Gemara brings the pasuk, V'otikhu kofer l'nefesh rotzeach, you shall not take atonement money for the life of a murderer, to teach that one does not take money from him to pardon him from execution. And it brings a second pasuk to teach that one does not take atonement money for one who must flee to a near miklat, a refuge city, and explains that both psukim are necessary. Chad b'shogeg, chad b'mezid, one for a person who kills b'shogeg, and one for a person who kills b'mezid. For if the Torah had only taught it for one who kills b'mezid, I may think that he cannot redeem his punishment with money because the transgression is chamur. But in the case of one who kills b'shogeg, perhaps the Torah did not prevent him from redeeming his punishment with money. And if the Torah had only taught it for one who kills b'shogeg, I might think it's because there's no ibud neshama, loss of life. But for one who kills b'mezid, where there is a loss of life for the killer, I might think the Torah does not prevent him from redeeming his punishment with atonement money. And point number three, Rasan Abraisa, Menayin Lemu Masim Besayim, Shehu Min HaTzavar. From where do we know with regard to those executed with a sword that it's from the neck? The Torah states at the conclusion of the parsha of Egel Arufa, the decapitated calf, and you shall purge the spillers of innocent blood from your midst. There's a hekesh of spillers of blood to the Egel Arufa. Just as there the death is from the neck, so too by all spillers of blood, the death is by the neck. When the Gemara said if we're comparing the execution of a murderer to the Egel Arufa, just as there the calf is killed with an axe, and from the back of the neck, here too the murderer should be executed with an axe, and from the back of the neck. Rav Nachman answered the name of Rabbi Bar Avuah. The pasuk states, "L'havderecha kamocha," and you shall love your neighbor as yourself, which teaches, "Barulol misa yafa," choose for him a favorable death. Rashi explains a sword and the cutting of the trachea and esophagus cause a quicker death. All right, so now we go to our Simmer Daf Lamed Zayin, and our standard simmon is laser tag. Laser tag. So here goes. The referees at the fierce Kamei B'Derabim in a laser tag tournament between one Chayiv Misa and another Chayiv Malkus, who refuse to take atonement money for murderers facing execution or heading to the Ari Miklat, declared the one who zapped his opponent in the neck the victor, since he chose a Misa Yafe. Once again in slow motion. The referees at the fierce Kamei B'Derabim in a laser tag tournament, laser tag, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Zayin. The referees at the fierce Kamlei B'Derabim in a laser tag tournament between one Chayiv Misa and another Chayiv Malkus, which reminds us, the Gemara explains why there are two sources for the principle of Kamlei B'Derabim in a, one for Chayiv Misa and the other for Chayiv Malkus. So the referees at the fierce Kamlei B'Derabim in a laser tag tournament between one Chayiv Misa and another Chayiv Malkus, who refused to take atonement money for murderers facing execution, which reminds us, the Gemara explains why it was necessary to teach that a murderer Mamezid can't give kofar atonement money to redeem his life, and also to teach separately that one who kills b'shogeg and sent to an ir miklat can't give kofar and redeem his life. So the referees at the Kamlei B'Derabim in a laser tag tournament between one Chayiv Misa and another Chayiv Malkus, who refused to take atonement money for murderers facing execution or heading to the Ari Miklat, declared the one who zapped his opponent in the neck the victor, since he chose a Misa Yafe. Which reminds us, the Gemara explains that those executed with Saif are executed with a sword to the neck, and that it's learned from the Parsha of Egel Arufa, but we don't learn from that Parsha that it's with an axe and at the back of the neck, because we learn from the pasuk of Vahavta Recha Kamocha that we must choose a Misa Yafe, a more favorable death. So once again, the referees at the fierce Kamlei B'Derabim in a laser tag tournament between one Chayiv Misa and another Chayiv Malkus, who refused to take atonement money for murderers facing execution or heading to the Ari Miklat, declared the one who zapped his opponent in the neck the victor, since he chose a Misa Yafe. All right, now it's time for four Blah Bah Chazara. Daf Lamed Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg leg pirate. So here goes. The peg leg pirate, that must mean we're on Daf Lamed Gimel. The peg leg pirate who is agitated because he couldn't give Hasra to the Edim Zomim, which reminds us, Belezer says Edim Zomim pay money and do not receive Malkus, Mishum Delab Bnei Hasran, because they're not subject to receiving warning before they commit their transgression. Rashi explains, we do not subject someone to a physical punishment if they have not been warned. Rava clarifies why they can't give a swat to them a day or an hour before they testify, or right before they testify, or right after they testify. So the peg-leg pirate who was agitated because he couldn't give Asra to the Edim Zomimim became livid when they laughed off his lashes warning because it was less severe than death, which reminds us, when Rav Shisha Braid Rav Edi brings a source that a chova b'chavera, one who wounds another pays money and does not receive malkas, he mentions the rule, musra l'davar ha-chamor having musra l'davar ha-kal. One who's warned for a severe matter is considered warned for a lighter matter. For example, if someone was warned that striking and killing someone would result in the death penalty, he's considered warned that striking and wounding his opponent would subject him to lashes. So the peg-leg pirate who was agitated because he couldn't give Hasra to the Edim Zomimim became livid when they laughed off his lashes warning because it was less severe than death. And then one ran off and stole his pirate sheep and had his friend shecht it on Shabbos. Which reminds us, where Meir says, that one who steals an ox or sheep and shecht it on Shabbos pays four or five times, even though he also gets the death penalty. The Gemara explains that the Brisa is dealing with the case of Botaveach al Yedei Acher. It was shechted through another person. Rava clarifies that even though we hold Ein shaliach d'var avera. There's no shaliach for a transgression. In this case, the Torah states, utvachu macharo, and shechs it or sells it. Just as the thief is chayv when he brings about the sale by involving another person, referring to a buyer, so too he is chayv when the shechting is through another person. Daf Lamed Daled, so the simmer Daf Lamed Daled is a ladder. So here goes. The person who cooked b'mezid on Shabbos was placing the dish forbidden to all on top of a ladder. A ladder? That must be more Daf Lamed Daled. The person who cooked b'mezid on Shabbos was placing the dish forbidden to all on top of a ladder, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, if one cooked on Shabbos going to Rav Meir, if it was done b'shogeg, he may eat what he cooked, but if it was done b'mezid, he may not eat it. Rav Yehuda says, b'shogeg he may eat it mostly Shabbos, b'mezid he may never eat the food, but Rashi explains, others may eat it. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says, b'shogeg the food may be eaten by others after Shabbos, but not by him. B'mezid the food may never be eaten by anyone. The Gemara brings the psukim for Rabbi Yochanan Sandler's opinion. So the person who cooked b'mezid on Shabbos was placing the dish, forbidden to all, on top of a ladder, when he accidentally dropped it on the head of a thief who stole a shomer niska from a shomer's house, which reminds us. The Gemara asks how Rabbi Meir could rule that a thief who steals in shechs a shomer niska, an ox condemned to be stolen, could be chayiv, the 4 or 5 times payment. It's not the animal of the original owner they're shechting, since the moment it's condemned, it becomes aser bahana. Rabbi answered that we're dealing here with a case in which the ox had been given to a shomer, and then it killed a person and was condemned to death while in his custody, and then the thief stole it from the shomer's house. Rabbi Meir holds, even after the verdict is reached, zero shomer abal of muchzor. If the shomer returns the animal to its owner, it's considered return. He also holds davar gorm lamamun kamamundami. Something that can cause a benefit of money is considered as money. Even though the animal is asabahana, it's considered, so to speak, owned by the shomer, since it causes him a benefit that he does not have to pay for damages when he returns it to the owner. Therefore, the thief has stolen the animal from the shomer and must pay 4 or 5 times to the shomer. So, the person who cooked b'mezid on Shabbos was placing the dish forbidden to all on top of a ladder, when he accidentally dropped it on the head of a thief who stole a shomer niska from a shomer's house and was shechting it himself on Shabbos, making mechayv and misa and to pay 4 or 5 times. Which reminds us, Rabbi brings an alternative explanation for how Rabbi Meir holds that a thief can be chayv 4 or 5 times of payment when the animal is shechted on Shabbos. Actually, you can say the cases where the thief shechts the animal himself and not through a shaliach. And you can still say that Rabbi Meir generally holds that one can get malchus and pay for the same transgression, but he does not hold he can be chayv misa and payment at the same time. But this case is different. The chiddush is shechidsha Torah b'knas, for it's a chiddush that the Torah was mechadish with a knas, afagav the mikdom misham, that even though he's executed, he still pays the fine. Daf Lamed Hey, so the simmer Daf Lamed Hey is a children's choir singing la la la. So here goes. The children's choir director, children's choir, that must be more on Daf Lamed Hey, la la la. The children's choir director who inadvertently struck a man and a cow with his baton, which reminds us, it was taught in the Bryce in the base midrash of Chizkiah. The Torah makes a comparison between the psukim Makka Adam and Makka Behema, one who strikes a man who is executed and does not pay damages, and one who strikes an animal who always pays damages. From here we learn that just as one who strikes an animal, you do not distinguish whether he did a b'shogeg or b'mezud or whether he had kavana to strike this animal or didn't have kavana, he's always chayv to pay. So too, when it comes to striking a man and all these distinctions just mentioned, the Torah is not coming to mechayev to pay in any of these cases, rather it's coming to exempt him from paying in all these cases. So the children's choir director, who inadvertently struck a man and a cow with his baton, just as the choir was singing the Russia Russia chorus line of their song that compared Malkus to Misa, which reminds us, when Ravin came from Eretz Israel to Babel, he reported that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish disagreed, b'chayvi Malkus shogeging v'davar acher, with regard to those who did a transgression b'shogeg, that when done b'mezid, is chayv Malkus, and is also chayv a monetary payment at the same time. Rish Lakish says he's pater b'feresh rips the Torah b'chayvi Malkios k'chayvi Misus, but the Torah explicitly included those chayv from Malkus in the exemption from payment, just like those chayv the death penalty. When the Gemara asks whether the Torah includes this law, Abai said it's derived from the Gezer Shava of Russia, Russia. So the children's choir director who inadvertently struck a man and a cow with his baton, just as the choir was singing the Russia, Russia chorus line of their song that compared Malkus to Misa, was shocked to see a sign on the animal that read, "You will always be chayv a payment if you strike me on a weekday," which reminds us, the Gemara explains how the Tana of the base midrash of Chizkiah, who made the comparison of Makka Adam and Makka Behema, presumed the case is where he struck the animal on a weekday and not on Shabbos, when one can distinguish between an act done b'shogeg and one done b'mezid. Daf Lamed Vav, so the simmer Daf Lamed Vav is a lulav. So here goes. The Choresh is holding a lulav, that must be more on Daf Lamed Vav. The Choresh is holding a lulav with a sign on it that said, "Please speak up on my behalf regarding a Tanis Pesulim," which reminds us, the Gemara explains, that the Tana of a Braisa that taught that a Choresh and a Shota cannot have a claim of Tanis Pesulim brought against them is from Gamliel, for just as he believes a woman who said that she was violated after receiving her Kedushin so that she doesn't lose her Ksuba, so too here in the case of the Choresh and the Shota, she doesn't lose her Ksuba, for we would say that if she had been mentally competent, she would claim that she was violated after Kedushin. When the Gemara asks if one actually heard that this was Rav Gamliel's position, when the woman herself does not make the claim, it answers that it's based on the principle of psach picha le'ilim, open your mouth on behalf of the mute, which means one should speak up on behalf of those who cannot do so for themselves. So the Choresh is holding a lulav with a sign on it that said, "Please speak up on my behalf regarding a Tanis Pesulim." Didn't hear the crash when the blind girl using a lulav as a cane fell down and struck the ground, which reminds us, it was stated in a Braisa. Sumcha says, in the name of Rabbi Meir, Suma ein la Tanis Pesulim, a blind woman cannot have brought against her a Tanis Pesulim, because a blind girl is likely to fall and strike the ground, which would cause her to lose her Dan Pesulim. Since she doesn't see that she's bleeding, she doesn't show her mother. So the Choresh is holding a lulav with a sign on it that said, "Please speak up on my behalf regarding a Tanis Pesulim." Didn't hear the crash when the blind girl using a lulav as a cane fell down and struck the ground after tripping over a freed captive woman who was sitting eating truma while counting her kanas. Which reminds, the Gemara explains of Rabbi Yehuda, who says that a shvuya who is ransomed is still in her state of purity, even if she's old, meaning older than the three, and she doesn't lose her right to receiving a kanas, is not necessarily saying the same thing as Rabbi Dosu, who holds shvuya ochelas betruma, a former captive woman who's a bas kohen is permitted to eat truma. They might have different reasons for being lenient. All right, now it's time to conclude their 10-question pop quiz. Number 1. Which step do you learn that Rabbi Yehuda's reason for permitting a captive woman to receive a kanas may not be the same reason as Rabbi Dosa's for permitting her to eat truma? That's on Daf Lamed Vav. Good. Number 2. Which step do you learn that a thief who steals in Shechs a Shor Niskal could be chayv 4 or 5 times when the thief steals it from the Shomer's house? That's on Daf Lamed Dalet. Good. Number 3. Which step do you learn that Tanis Pesulim cannot be brought against a blind woman since she tends to fall and lose her Pesulim? That's on Daf Lamed Vav. Good. Number 4. Which stuff do we learn, signed from Egla Rufo, and that it's done in the front of the neck because it's a Misa Yafet? That's on Daf Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 5. Which stuff do we learn that a Abai learns from the Gezer Shava of Russia, that the Torah explicitly included those chayv from Malkus in the exemption from payment, just like those who are chayv Misa? That's on Daf Lamed Hey. Good. Number 6. Which of the reasons why it's necessary to teach that kofar, atoma money, cannot be given by those who murder b'mezid or b'shogeg? That's on Daf Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 7. Which of the learn musu adavra chamur, abi musu adavra kal? One warned for a severe matter is considered warned for a less severe matter. That's on Daf Lamed Gimel. Good. Number 8. Which of the learn the difference in the cases of stealing chaylev and eating it and shooting an arrow of dalad amos through a silk? That's on Daf Lamed Aleph. Good. Number 9. Which stuff do you learn why 2 sources were brought for Kamali by the Rabbi Mine, one for Chayve Misa and one for Chayve Malkus? That's on Daf Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 10. Which stuff do you learn that the thief is high for stealing a person dragging it into Rishus Rabbim because he held his other hand low to take it and hands are considered like a Rishus of Dalad by Dalad Tfachim? That's on Daf Lamed Aleph. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu wishing a great day and great learning.